we have reached the downhill stretch of 1 John, John's first letter. Just two chapters and two sermons to go, today and in a fortnight's time, and in amongst that, one or two familiar verses. You may have picked one up today. And here's the question: where would you often hear this? God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God abides in them. That's the question. Where might you often hear that? Any hands up? Come on. So yes, at the back. Say again. Yes, a wedding, a Church of England wedding. You would often hear that said at the beginning of the wedding. I think it was quoted at Harry and Meghan's wedding by the Dean of Windsor, who was a very miserable chap, wasn't he? Well, I must confess, I tend not to say it when I'm doing a wedding because I think it's, well, misleading, even rather unhelpful. Because quoting that verse at the beginning of a wedding gives the impression, I think, to most people that the love it talks about is romantic love. But it isn't. You know, when you gather for a wedding, the focus is the romantic love between the bride and the groom. That is the focus of the day. And if I say God is love at the start of a wedding and mention those who live in love at the start of a wedding, anyone might be forgiven for thinking that God is some sort of incurable romantic. And people who are in love are right with God. If that were true, it certainly wouldn't cheer up those of us who are singles or who are struggling with romance. It can be hard enough going to a wedding on your own without hearing that. But you may be relieved to know this verse does not say that. The love mentioned in 1 John 4 is not love. It's not romantic love. That would be, if it was that, the Greek in 1 John would have used the word eros. But the Greek word used here in 1 John 4, as John wrote his letter, was agape, self-sacrificing love. So God is love means God is self-sacrificing love. And those who live self-sacrificially abide in God. And God abides in them. That's what this verse is saying. Now, I can see there's a point to reading that out at weddings. Certainly marriages which have self-sacrificing love at the centre of them do last longer and are much more satisfying for those in them. But that's not what most people hear if you quote the verse at the beginning of a wedding service. God is love means God is self-sacrificial love. And that becomes even clearer when we look back a few verses. Have you got this passage in front of you? We're on page 260 in the Church Bibles. You look back a few verses to verses 8b, 9 and 10, that's where it says first in this chapter, God is love. Can you see verse 8b? For God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Self-sacrificing love, shown by God the Father in sending his only Son into the world. Self-sacrificing love, shown by Jesus the Son in his action of giving up his life as an atoning sacrifice, choosing death to bring life to others. So that is the love which is repeatedly mentioned in this chapter. Now we've established more clearly that understanding, let's see the whole chapter. And unusually, I'm going to work from end to start. Normally that would be foolish as you look through the Bible in biblical exegesis. We should work from the start to the end. But with John's letter, you may have noticed this in studying it, it doesn't matter as much because he tends to go round and round a bit rather than in straight lines. So here we are at the end of the chapter in verse 16, God saying self-sacrificing love, God, that's what God is, self-sacrificing love, and that he lives in those who love like that. And this love, he goes on to say, John goes on to say, brings two great results. Boldness, not fear, verses 17 and 18, and acts of self-sacrificing love for our brothers and sisters, verses 20 and 21. First, boldness on the day of judgment. That means confidence that Jesus will welcome us into his heaven. And that confidence, that boldness comes from receiving God's self-sacrificing love and giving it to others. Whereas many people might be unsure about what happens to them after this life, and others rather fearful, God wants us to know confidently, boldly, that we shall be saved on the last day because we have received his sacrificial love and passed it on to others. That's the first result. Second result is that having received that love and being confident about its result, we pass it on to others. We love our brothers and sisters. Quite regularly, I do funeral visits to families. Families that are often brought together by the sad loss of somebody within their number. Maybe families who haven't been together for a while. Sometimes I come across this in families, brothers and sisters who have fallen out. I do some funerals where, when I do the visit, you could cut the atmosphere with a knife. Because there's not self-sacrificing love going on between siblings, but rather a version of hate. And it's all too easy for the same to happen within the family of God. Destructive rivalry between churches, or competition of egos within churches. And that is not love. Verses 19 and following, we love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. So God is love, and his love brings two great results: confidence on the last day, and therefore confidence, not fear, every day, and loving brothers and sisters instead of hating. Now, let's work our way backwards through the passage. And the next section before is verse 13 and following, which tackles the question, how do we receive this love? In verse 13, it says, God's Spirit gives us this love, as we have God's Spirit living in us. God makes it happen. It's not something we have to try hard for. It's a gift. God gives it, and we go with it. rather than resist. And then verse 14, how do we receive this love? God gives it by his Spirit. And then verse 14, God's only Son shows us this love. Jesus the Saviour shows us this love. It's not a theoretical thing, it's a practical thing, which Jesus has shown us, and so we know what it is, and can receive it and do it. And then verse 15, as we respond to Jesus, confess from our own mouth and from our own heart that Jesus is who he claims to be, then we receive this love and God lives in us. Verse 16, that's how we know and believe and receive this love, the self-sacrificing love that God has for us. How do we receive this love? That's what we're told in verses 13 to 16. And then going back another section to verses 7 to 12, already been told, if we receive, then give. And the key verse here is verse 11. Can you see it, beloved? Since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. If we receive, then we give. That's how it goes from verse 7, the beginning of this paragraph. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So if we receive God's self-sacrificing love, then we give it. There used to be a song, didn't there? Love is something if you give it away. Anyone remember it? Love isn't something you hoard, is it? It doesn't work like that. That's not the currency of love. You don't hoard it jealously. Self-sacrificing love doesn't work like that. We receive it because God loves us, and now we know that love, we give it. That's what it's about. We give it to others. That's how it works. Well, since Jesus returned to heaven, we've been unable to see God, but we see his love. Receive it, give it, and so it grows, becomes what it should, and so others see God. That's the message of verses 7 to 12. And finishing, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. So the picture of chapter 4 is nearly complete as we work from the end to the start. Tells us God is love, self-sacrificial love. And if we receive this love, give this love, we can be confident on the last day, and so confident before God on every day. And we will love our brothers and sisters. It's about receiving God's love and giving it. And finally, the first paragraph. People who are loving are often considered to be gullible. But we're not to be gullible, verses 1 to 6. We know that there is good and evil. We know there's right and wrong, truth and falsehood. And we're not soft. Just because we receive and give God's self-sacrificing love doesn't make us soft. We are to be wise, wise as serpents, innocent as doves. And often people who give of themselves sacrificially know very well what matters. And so we are discerning. We know what matters. And we discern truth from falsehood, good from evil. We don't just believe what is said to us. We test everything against. Well, when you test things, you need to test them against a standard, and we're able to test things against the self-sacrificing love of God. So the beginning of the chapter says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God." In the end, discernment shows us that everyone is either for or against. For Christ or anti-Christ. Like Christ, Christ-like, or worldly, which is the word which John uses here. This is the important gift of discernment, which shows us what matters and shows us, reminds us that we'd rather join the winning side with the one who has already conquered sin and death. Verse 4, "Little children, you are from God and have conquered them. For the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." We could play the world's game. Verse 5. "They are from the world, therefore what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. But we'd rather know the difference between God's good and bad, and choose good." Verse 6. "We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. From this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." We've finished this chapter. It is a good chapter. Once you've worked out the meaning of the word which crops up again and again through it, God's love, God's self-sacrificial love, receive it and give it. And when people take sides, know what matters, because you know who and what is from God. 1 John 4. We end with 1 John 5 in a fortnight. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. We thank you that you love us with a self-sacrificing love. Help us to receive it. And as we know you and receive your love, please help us to give that love as you want us to. And so be confident that you live in us and we live in you.